Thank you, Dr. Holmes. Appreciate being asked to come and speak today. And always a joy to get back to the seminary. This is a place where I spent 20 good years of my life. No, I didn't take that long. We enjoyed our time at the seminary, and I came as an older student and had the joy of making a lot of friends with younger ministers and as well as some that's older. And a lot of the professors you have today are friends that we had back then. And Dr. Joe Pendleton was my professor and continues to be my dear friend. Nolan Ritchie was my ping pong partner. We had a rule you couldn't graduate until you beat Dr. Bryan. And it took us several years. And it's sure good to see them. Good to see Mike Puckett, who I had the joy of mentoring in Hope when I was his pastor and ordained as a deacon. He is a good deacon, good member. God's messed him up and called him to preach. I feel sorry for him. He would have been a lot better off just being a good deacon. But we're glad the Lord's called on him, and we're glad to see all of you. Really prayed and thought about what to try to preach to you fellows and ladies today. I realize theologically I wouldn't have anything deep enough to help you. There were some things I'd like to share, and I really thought about them very strongly. I wanted to talk to you about the body of Christ, how that when he took upon himself a body, he's never been without a body and never will be without a body. Once Christ became a man, he became a man forever, so that you and I, men, could become the children of God forever. It's a wonderful part of what Christ did for us in his passion. And other things that I want to share, but instead God led me to talk to you on this subject. God speaks. Do you know how to listen? God speaks. Do you know how to listen? Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 are my text, and I'll reread those verses. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I love the fact that the early church was really into worship. The modern church seems to be really into programs. And sometimes we feel like if we can program everything a certain way, it will guarantee us success. Pastors are not CEOs, and unfortunately, every one of us are absolute failures, except for the grace of God, and except for what God does in our life. So the worship of the church is very important. The Holy Ghost said, I love that phrase, the Holy Ghost said. I get tickled at churches calling pastors. You know, it's almost like a peacock contest. And who's ever got the brightest tail feathers, that's the one that they want. But the Holy Ghost should be the selector of the ministers. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And our nations, we do lay our hands on them. I know we pray. It might do well if we really spend some time fasting and praying before we lay our hands on men that are being sent out into ministry. God speaks, and these are not, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's not really a sermon as much as just some thoughts that I want to share with you. The Holy Spirit is clearly seen throughout the book of Acts. He is empowering, he's cleansing, he's directing, he's speaking. And it is plain as you study this great book that God is a God who communicates not only through his word, but through the person of his Holy Spirit, the third person of his triune Godhead. Now, I'm not suggesting to you that you listen for oral communications. Fact is, I'm scared to death of the people that say to me, God told me. And what God told them is different than He's told anyone else. I usually find that what God tells me, He has told someone else and can tell someone else, and it fits in a way that blends and is in cooperation, rather than being something that becomes contrarian or argumentative or divisive within the body of Christ. So we know that God speaks. Not in oral communications, I don't think. Maybe He can. But the communications of the impressions of the Holy Spirit are indelible and undoubtable. When He speaks to you in that way, you know what God has said. I wouldn't dare go to pastor a church or be a missions director if God had not told me to do so. And it's just that plain. There's not enough money to hire a person into a position that will make it a success. You have got to be in the place where God tells you to go. A young preacher once looked at me and said, "Brother Hatch, you just cannot know the will of God." He's out of ministry now. Fact is, I thought he had good talent. But he's out of the ministry now. And if you cannot know the will of God, how in the world can you do the will of God? God will allow you to know His will. God has given us His precious Word that we study, and His will is always revealed in His Word, and there's nothing about His will that is ever contrary to His Word. You think you're supposed to go in a direction and there's a verse prohibiting you to do that, then you let me tell you, forget the feelings that you have in your heart and you listen to the Word of God. And you let God's Word direct you. But sometimes the Word of God doesn't have a specific verse. Through prayer and understanding of God, we listen to the advice of godly friends and the impressions of the Holy Spirit. All of those go into revealing to us the will of God. But sometimes just mere circumstances. I think God drives us into corners we can't get out of. It's bound to be His will. We can't get out of it. We're just there. And you can either be depressed and lament, or you can roll up your sleeves and do the best job you can for God. There's a dear brother in Arkansas who has been pastor of a very small church for, I don't know, somewhere around 53 or 4 years. And that dear brother has an invalid wife. He has to bathe her. He has to change her diapers. He has to change her clothes. Everything that's done, he has done that for years. Now, that's a circumstance. You cannot just get up and go off and leave and say, "Well, I'll go someplace else that looks better." But let me tell you what that small church, under his leadership, has reached that community. And just a few months ago, they sent us a check to help us in one of our building programs for $20,000. Now, that's no small gift. And yet God, because He has placed that man there and He has been faithful, He has influenced literally the lives of all of us in the state of Arkansas that know Him, and any out of the state of Arkansas that may know Him. God speaks, and we are to listen and do what God says. Now let's divide our text. First of all, I want you to notice that there is a supreme speaker. The Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said. When He says, and it's unmistakable, it is a settled issue. You do not have to go and find out how much it pays. You don't have to go and find out what someone else thinks. You don't have to ask if this is going to be to your advantage. When the Holy Spirit has said, when He has spoken, then that should be sufficient. And I love when you know the work of God has begun with the voice of God, not a whim, not a committee, but God the Holy Spirit has said, and we respond by following Him and allowing Him to work out His will and His purpose in our individual lives. When you listen to the voice of God, you will find the leadership of God. And God, as I've said, always leads in accordance with His precious Word. It gives us sensitivity in living our lives. God's men and women should have lives that reflect a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and honor the family name. We need to be very careful that we do not do anything to sully the reputation of a holy God. There should be sensitivity in doing. James said that a man hearing the word and beholding himself, in the word is like a man looking in the mirror and seeing what manner of man he is, and then he goes and forgets it. And if you look into God's word and you go and forget it, then you are guilty of ignoring the clear direction of the word of God. And God wants to be in charge of everything that we are, not only everything we do. He wants to be in charge of what we are. Is He in charge of you? Has God ever spoke to you? I can tell you honestly, He has me. Now, not audibly, but let me tell you a couple of occasions. I was pastoring in Odessa, Texas, and we were having some problems. We always had problems there. I spent 33 months and don't remember a day without a problem. God put me through the school of hard knocks in Odessa, Texas. 33 months, 300 editions, 700 facts. I don't know. It was a hard place to be. But I had a problem, and I just had wrestled about this problem. And I tried to figure it out. And I finally wrote down Plan A. I got it all written down. And then I wrote down Plan B. And I got it all written down. I wrote down Plan C. And then I decided to separate myself for a morning of extended prayer and find out the will of God. Now, I was sure He would not know what I had written, so I explained to Him what Plan A and Plan B and Plan C were. And then I said, God, I'm going to get quiet here. And as I get quiet, You just impress on my heart A, B, or C. That'll be sufficient. See, I had it all worked out. All He had to do was tell me which one of those great plans I was to use. And I got very quiet, and I stayed quiet, and I prayed, and I meditated, I don't know, for maybe 30 minutes. And I'll never forget when God spoke to me. And by the way, it wasn't Plan A, Plan B, or Plan C. I don't even remember those plans. I don't even remember the problem. But I remember God saying, trust Me. It was plain. Trust Me. And I apologized to God and got up and went about my business. And I don't remember the problem, but I know God worked it out and everything was taken care of. But God spoke to me indelibly at that time. On another occasion, I was at First Missionary Baptist Church in Terrell, and I was having one of these Sunday morning pity parties. Any of you fellows ever have those? Where are they all at, God? And I was sitting up there looking at my congregation. We had about 130. But we had a building that would accommodate, a lot more than that. And we were located right across from the school system, backed up by beautiful homes that even way back then were selling at $300,000. And we had a field that you cannot imagine. We tried everything, worked everything, and we just seemed to be on high center and going no place. And I was sitting there one morning and I was looking out at my congregation. I said, Lord, this is just not really fair. We could easily accommodate 100 more people here at this church, and we're trying everything we can do, and yet we do not have those people. Why can't You give me 100 more people? And God spoke something to me in the next few moments that changed the direction of my ministry and changed the direction of my life. And God said to me, Ivy, if I gave you 100 more people next Sunday, tell me one thing you would do for them that would make one bit of difference in their life. That's sobering. But God, I could count them on my board. That's sobering. God, listen, God does not care about our boards. God cares about people. and we are invest our lives in touching the lives of people, God has spoken to us in that. It is clear throughout the entire New Testament, we are not the slayers of men. We are the healers of men. Secondly, not only do we see a solid speaker in that the Holy Spirit said, but we also see a sovereign statement. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." I still believe in a God called ministry. I still believe that you're in the ministry because a sovereign God said, "I want you to preach the word of God for me. I am choosing you, but you do not belong to yourself. You belong to me." The greatest battle that you'll ever win in your heart is a battle that says, "To the best of my energy, I determine to be God's man above all other things." And not listen to what is popular. Not listen to what is the drift of the times, but listen to Almighty God. Because, listen to me, preacher men, we are the last link between earth and heaven for the souls of men. And we let down on preaching the truth. And we compromise in being what we should be in principle and in doctrine. The last line between earth and heaven for the souls of men is breaking down where we personally stand. And every single one of us who have been called by God in the ministry shall stand and give an account unto God for the ministry that we have had. That's a sobering thought. And we will not look at him and say, "What about John?" As Peter did. Because Jesus said, "That's none of your business. I'm dealing with you right now." And God deals with us individually. I think the most exciting thing in the world is to be called to preach. I mean, doing it 47 years, I'm just as excited about it now as I was when I started. I've messed up more sermons than anybody else in the BMA. But I can tell you one thing, I've enjoyed it every time. I just love getting up and telling folks about Jesus and what Jesus can do in a person's life, and that He is the light of the world, He is the hope of the world, He is the door to heaven, He is the peace of our soul, He is the power of our life, He is the purpose for which we live. Jesus. That's what it's all about. I am in the business of planting churches in the state of Arkansas, and I want to tell you something, and people all over Arkansas will tell you this. I tell our missionaries and I tell our people, our job is not to build churches. Because I read the book and God said, "I will build my church." Our job is to love people, preach to people, share the message with people, win as many people as we can, train them, and trust God to build a church that will be an honor to His holy name and not a monument to ours. There is a world of difference, and please don't ever forget this, there is a world of difference between a crowd and a church. Amen. Build churches. I'm talking about churches that count for Jesus Christ. Build them. And don't be afraid. God is sovereign in His selection. And He has chosen you. You can determine to be God's man. God is not ugly or mean. He is not hard or harsh. You know, we had this guy in Arizona. He calls himself a preacher. I have a hard time calling him one. Who said he is praying that President Obama will die and go to hell. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't vote for President Obama. I don't like the policies. But that's the last place I'd want anybody to go to. And I pray for his success. I pray God will help him to lead us in the right direction. Ladies and gentlemen, we are God's men and women to share a sweet message with a sorry world. And we must not become discouraged in what we do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and if you ever get too big for yourself, read this. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God has chosen incapable vessels that He might pour His own capability into, enabling incapable vessels to do more than they could have ever dreamed in the energy of their flesh. So why would you want to depend on the flesh? The ministry does not depend on our wits. It depends on His power. And let's always remember that. God selects us for the work that He's chosen us for. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. God empowers us to do what God has called us to do. When I was Mike's pastor at Unity, I never went in view of a call for nearly 20 years that I was there. And I know you said, well, you never got invited, but I did have a few invitations. But I do remember one time that I had a church that called me. I mean, I never preached for them, but they called me. And they called and they said, Brother Ivy, we've called you to be our pastor. We're a congregation of young professionals. We've got all the money you can imagine. We'll pay you any salary you're asking for. And we'll hire you for the help. We want somebody to come that will preach the Word of God to us. And therefore, we've called you to be our pastor. Very flattering. And so I had to start, you know, weighing that thing in my mind. It sounded really good. And really challenging. And I prayed about that thing for 2 weeks. And I just kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept praying. And finally, God impressed me, or said to me, He said, if you want to go, you go. And you know what? That was my answer. And I said, Heavenly Father, I am where I am because You said to go. I'll not go someplace where I'm making the decision. But I want to tell you something. That's held me for 47 years. Be sure of God's call. Be sure of God's placement. And do what God tells you. Well, very quickly, we'll wrap this up. Verse 3 in chapter 13. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The church sent them away. And they left to go and do the ministry that God had called them for. But they went under the blessing of the church. Now, I've noticed several things about this church at Antioch. I noticed they were united. They weren't fighting over things. They were directed by the Holy Spirit. They knew how to listen. Sometimes we have problems in churches because we're filled in our churches with natural men who know not the things of God because they do not belong to God, and the things of God are spiritually discerned. And there are a lot of folks in churches that have just gotten in there by mistake. Good-hearted, good intentions, but they've not found the Lord. I was in Crandall many years ago and I was preaching. I had a lady at that church and, boy, I love that lady. She heard her husband. Her husband was a lead deacon. And he'd walk over that little town of 1,000, witness to everybody he could get an ear from on a Saturday. Every Saturday you could count on Brother Charlie going and witnessing. And Geneva, his wife, was the best cook. And my wife and I weren't very old. She hadn't learned to cook quite as good as she does now. And I learned if I'd stand at the back door and look real hungry, Miss Janine would invite me home to eat with her. So we went home with them nearly every Sunday and ate. I loved that lady. I loved that man. Oh, they were precious. I was preaching the book of Revelation to the WMA ladies and had been doing that for about 6 months. And one Sunday morning, as I preached, Miss Geneva stepped out and headed down the front. And I stood there thinking, she's either got somebody she's going to ask me to pray for, or she might rededicate her life, because this lady was perfect to me. She got to the front, took my hand, I'll never forget her words. Well, you couldn't forget these. I thought you'd never on earth would shut up. Absolute words, she said to me. Now, preachers, they say it about us all the time, but she told me face to face. And I said, ma'am? And she said, Brother Hyde, I've been a member of this church for years. But in the last few months, I've come to realize that I've been trusting all my good efforts, all my good deeds, but I've never trusted Christ and Him alone. And I've trusted Him to be my Savior today. And I baptized that dear lady. Went back over there a few years ago and preached her funeral. She'd appreciated the fact that I was a preacher God used to help her see her need of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Our churches are full of natural people. Our churches are full of carnal people. Could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto babes, because you are carnal. People that are so shallow. No, just about a half inch deep and about a mile wide. They'll fall for anything, follow anything, go after anything. The doctrine of the Word of God is worth standing for. The principles we believe are worth standing for. And we need to be true to what God has taught us. And then thank goodness we have the spiritual people growing, maturing, increasing in faith. And they come together in cooperation. And they sent their missionaries out to reach the world. Dr. Holmes and I were talking earlier in his office. And he and I share some of the same ideas. But I want to speak a word in closing about the association. Sometimes I hear people say, the association doesn't mean a thing to me. Well, if it doesn't, you don't care about God's work. Now look right here, get mad as you want to, but listen. If association doesn't mean a thing to you, you don't care about God's work, because of the fact that the association is what enables us to do God's work. It's not a lord over us. It doesn't have authority over us. It doesn't tell us what to do. It doesn't tell us where to go. It doesn't tell us how to act. We started the association because we could not do the Great Commission any other way. In your churches, you'll have kids come in. Some will drop a quarter, 50 cents, dollar. You'll have a man come in and drop $100, maybe $1,000. But I can tell you one thing. You don't have a single member that could ever do the work of your church by themselves. And we got some big churches, but we don't have a single one that could ever do the work of the Great Commission by themselves. So in a voluntary cooperation, we have come together in an association so we can work together through a greater body to do the greater good. And because of that, we have missionaries now around the world. And the nation of Africa, since 1994, when I was over there, when they have one country, 13 churches, we have 172 churches in 10 countries because of the work of the association. In our small state of Arkansas in the last 10 years, as small as we are, because of the cooperating in our association of our churches, we've had 17 missions, 10 organized into full-time self-supporting churches, 3 more ready to be organized, a ministry to the alcoholic, to the drug addict, to the homeless, to old rough bikers, and to the Hispanic ministry, where we are seeing that growing in leaps and bounds. And that is all because we have cooperated together, listening to the voice of God, and are sending people out together to do God's work. I say to Southern Baptists, love them, appreciate them for who they are and what they are, have no access to grind with them at all. But I do want you to know I'm still proud to be an old, hard-headed BMA preacher. Because I see the seminary life work, camp ministries, chaplains. I see disciple guide publications. I see all the different things because together we have sent out God's men. Let's continue to do what we can do for the Lord and all the time He gives us and always for His glory. God speaks. Please listen.